So this morning we have with us Sue, who is going to come and talk to us about what she's up to in Hong Kong. Welcome, Sue. And so, Lord, I just pray for Sue. I just thank you so much for her. I thank you for this morning. There was a kind of an unexpected gap, and into it came Sue, which was wonderful. So it was as if God organised the morning for us. The Lord really organised the morning so that Sue could come and talk to us, and I'm so pleased for that. So, Lord, I just pray for Sue. Thank you for her, Lord. Thank you for everything she's doing out there. And, Lord Jesus, just bless her this morning. Amen.
Thanks, sir. Good morning. I have to say Jo San, which is good morning in Cantonese. In case you don't know me, my name is Sue Exelby, and I normally live in Hong Kong. So I'm really pleased to have the opportunity to come and say hello and to spend some time with you this morning. I left Hong Kong thinking it was winter there, but it was 16 degrees, and everyone I've met so far has said, "Oh, you're not prepared." I said, "What do you mean I'm not prepared? Well, you've got no warm clothes with you." I think I'd forgotten quite how cold it gets here. So, some of you know me from way back when, so I think from the time when I was a baby Christian, so it's wonderful to see some very friendly faces. I went out to China the first time about 16 years ago, but I think some of you will know that after a few years, I had to return to England because I had very severe depression. So before I talk about Hong Kong, I just wanted to say a little bit about the testimony of how I received the healing from that. It was a prolonged time, and the way I describe it now is it was a period in my life when it felt like my life was being stolen away. My calling was being stolen away. And I felt completely powerless to do anything about it. And yet, of course, in Ephesians 1, it talks about every believer that is filled with the Holy Spirit has the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, living within inside of us. And so when I read these kind of things in God's Word and then looked at the reality of my life, I realized there was a big gap. There's a big gap between my reality and the truth of what God's Word was saying. So my breakthrough came when I realized that I could do something about that gap. I had the ability, because of the power within me, because of the Holy Spirit, that I could change my reality so it was in line, it agreed with what God's Word says. In John 10:10, it says, "The thief or the devil or the enemy comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. But I," meaning Jesus, "have come to give you abundant life, life in all its fullness." And so when I read those things, I began to renew my thinking. I began to think on the things that made sense from the perspective of God's truth, rather than looking at my own reality. In Psalm 103, in verse 3, I really like to quote that scripture because it says in two lines what Jesus has done for us. And the first line of that verse says, "He has forgiven all our sins." That's our sins, everyone. Past, present, future, everything. For everyone in the entire world, forever. He did it once for all. The very next line says, "And he has healed all our diseases." Now, many of us know we live in the good of the first line, and we don't necessarily live in the good of the second line, but they're both as true as each other. And when did those things happen? Well, Matthew 8:17 says Jesus bore our sicknesses. That means he took them into himself. And of course, 1 Peter 2:24, the very famous verse that which is often quoted. At the beginning of that, it says, "When he was on the cross, he did these things. And by his wounds, we have been healed." So everything that Jesus has done for us was accomplished on the cross, which is nearly 2,000 years ago now. So if I wasn't living in the truth of what he had already done, I didn't need to ask him to give me something. He'd already given it. He'd already done everything. You know, on the cross, one of the things Jesus said was, "It is finished." And he really meant it. He has done everything necessary for us to have fullness of life. And so as I began to think on these things, I got transformed. And then, of course, Romans 12:2 says, you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's like, oh, God's word is true. It really works. And so when I was thinking about what God had already done and my reality, I realized I can do something about this. And I made a decision. I chose to stop thinking on the things that said, you're defeated, you're a failure, you will never do anything worthwhile, and many, many other things that I'm sure you can imagine that the devil will try to tempt you with and try to get you to believe his lies. But there's a reason why he's called the father of lies, and that's because his only weapon against us is deception. He has no real power because Jesus has defeated him. And so if we're in Jesus, and we are, if we're believers, then we have his power to overcome. Praise God! So I went from being that wiggly little caterpillar crawling about to being the new creation that God made me a few years before that. Okay, praise the Lord. So nothing is impossible. We all agree on that. Okay, I'm going to speak a bit about Hong Kong. The place where I live in Hong Kong is called Cheung Chau. It's a little island, got about 60,000 people. It's so small, you can walk around it in a day. And there are no cars, no traffic. So it's a very special place, a bit different to the usual image you have of Hong Kong, of the, you know, high buildings and shiny, shiny place. So it's known for having very good seafood restaurants if anybody wants to come and visit. And we have pythons that are 20 feet long. And we have mosquitoes that are so big you could put a saddle on them and ride them. Okay, exaggerated a bit about the length of the pythons. I work there with two wonderful ladies. One is a Filipina lady called Nora. Actually, her full name is Leonora Maria, but we call her Nora for short. Of course, our Chinese friends can't quite pronounce her name that way, so she's called Lola to them. And the other lady I work with is May, and she is from Indonesia. The population of Hong Kong is about 7 million, and more than a quarter of a million of the population is made up of foreign domestic helpers, which means mainly ladies that come from the Philippines and Indonesia and Thailand and Sri Lanka, and they come to work in people's homes to cook and clean and look after the children. When they have their days off, they often have to leave the employer's house, so they have nowhere to go. So we've got a center on Cheung Chau called Cheung Chau Christian Center. And it's where Nora and May live, but their flat happens to have quite a big living room, so we use it for our meetings. So a lot of my work is with the Indonesian ladies, who are mainly from Muslim backgrounds, and the Filipina ladies, which often have Catholic backgrounds. So they have a place to come to rest, to cook their food, and to hear about Jesus. So I thought this morning I'd give you a few testimonies about what's been happening. One of our Filipina ladies is actually in prison at the moment. Doesn't sound very positive, but wait till you hear the rest of the story. She was a Christian just a few days, tiny baby Christian. And We spoke to her after one of our Sunday meetings, and she was obviously a bit upset. So Nora and I went to speak to her, and God gave us a picture for her, which was of a huge, enormous wave that was going to flatten her. Oh dear, how do you give that and still sound positive? But God said, I'm with you in the middle of it. I'm holding you. You're going to be secure, and I will keep you safe. And then the other thing we had for her was Psalm 23. So very encouraging things. Unbeknownst to us, the following day she goes to court, gets convicted, and gets a 10-month sentence. So she had no Bible with her. But in the meantime, she had memorized Psalm 23. So in the month between when she went into prison and when we could get a Bible to her and go and visit her, we were a bit concerned, to say the least. But God said, it's all right, I'm with her. You know, cast all your cares upon me. No need to worry. Don't be anxious. So we agreed with him rather than what our minds were telling us. When we went to see her, she was absolutely blossoming. It was astounding. And we're talking through the glass, you know, on the telephone. And how are you? She said, I have peace. I have joy. It's like, oh, praise God. It works. And she was able to explain that before she got her Bible, she would recite Psalm 23 to herself and she would speak out loud. And so she would say to the other ladies, I'm blessed because God's with me. I'm not alone. So there she is, a baby Christian. I mean, I'm talking days, not even weeks. And she's in a situation that, normally speaking, you would find a little bit discouraging. And yet there she is saying, I have more peace, more joy now than I had a month ago. Not because my circumstances are easy, but because I've got Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? So that really spoke to me about, we can be tempted to look at circumstances. And God says, don't look at the circumstances, look at me. Look at me. One of the Chinese gentlemen that I know, an older man, he has a wonderful testimony, so I'll tell you his testimony. He's nearly 70 years old now, and for 50, that's 50 years of his life, he was addicted to heroin. So first of all, it's a fairly big miracle that he actually survived that long. But he's been a Christian about a year now. And in the first couple of months after he got saved, he read the New Testament 6 times. So when you speak to him now, what do you think comes out of his mouth? See, it's God's word. It's life and light. But one day he came to the center and he said, Asu, that's what they call me in the Cantonese. In Cantonese, they like to put A-H, before the surname. And it's a bit like us saying Smithy or Jonesy, or they use a surname and add this to make it familiar. And it's often the way an older person will speak to a younger person. Well, my surname has got 3 syllables, so it doesn't work. So I'm known as Asu. So Asu. So come in, sit down, what's the problem? So he said, oh, I'm very, very worried. I want you to pray for my family. His wife and his children are not saved yet. So I want you to pray for them because when I go away, I want to know that they are safe. It's like, wait a minute, what do you mean when you go away? Well, I had a heart condition. Many years ago, I had an operation. And I've been back for a checkup, and the doctor said it's very, very bad. So bad, maybe 2 years of life left. So it's very terrible. But I'm not concerned for me, I'm just concerned for my family. It's like, okay. I said, well, before we pray for the family, should we sort your heart out? And then we can pray for the family. It's like, okay. Now, in the meantime, he had heard my testimony about being healed of epilepsy, which I won't go into now. But when I became a Christian, I had very severe epilepsy. And before I'd even read, I mean, literally read any of the Bible, God healed me because I just said, I don't think this is from you, God. I don't like it. I don't want it. Take it away. And he did. So, we talk about how much faith do you need to get healed. Well, if you had enough faith to get saved, you've got enough. So he'd heard this testimony from me, and he points his finger and he said, I remember you saying God healed you and you don't have to take medication. I said, yes, that's right. I said, well, should we do the same thing and then you won't have to? Okay. So we went through a few scriptures with him and we explained a few things to him. I said, okay, we're going to speak to everything that's wrong with your heart and we're going to say, be gone in Jesus' name. So he did that. And then I said to him, breathe out and picture all the bad stuff coming out. And then breathe in and picture everything of the Holy Spirit restoring all that damage. So he looked at me. Okay. I said, how do you feel? He said, okay. I said, great. I didn't see him for 2 weeks. Oh, what's going to happen now, Lord? He came bounding up the stairs. Ah, Sue! Ah, Sue! I said, hello, how are you? He said, I feel better than I've done for years. No pain, no problems with circulation, no problems with tiredness. I said, why do you think that is? He said, because Jesus healed me. Praise God. So this is a man that I cannot imagine what his life must have been like. For those of you that know Hong Kong, he was brought up in the walled city. And he actually heard the gospel about 40 years ago for the first time from a young English lady called Jackie Pullinger. So the seed that was sown then has come to fruition. So be encouraged. Any seeds that you sow, even if you don't see the result then and there, which is always wonderful to do, but even if you don't be dismayed, because you see about 38 years later, the seed blossomed, he got a new life. And now he's walking about Chung Chow, telling everybody else, look what God can do for you. See, it's never too late. The world would write him off, 50 years of a wasted life. What's the point? He's a grandfather now, but he's not really done very much. He's not achieved anything. He's not given into society. God says, that means nothing to me. My son died to give him fullness of life. It's never too late. One of the other stories I want to tell is about one of the Indonesian ladies. Many of the Indonesian ladies still wear the veil, but in Chung Chow, the Chinese families don't like them to, so most of our ladies don't wear it. But we have had some that come to the center and say, can I put my prayer mat out and face Mecca and do the... It's like, well, you can, but you realize when you're doing that, we'll be praying in Jesus' name for you too. One of the Indonesian ladies, she'd heard how much Jesus loved her, and she said, no, I reject that. It's like, okay. And then God gave her a dream. And so the dream is that a man came up to her with something in his hand. And he came towards her. And as he opened his hand, she saw a little wooden cross in his hand. And he wanted her to have it. And she said, no, I don't want that. I know that's the symbol of Christians. And I have been taught that Christians are very bad people and they're very dirty. And I don't want anything to do with them. In the same dream, the same man came to her again with something in his hand. And as he opened his hand this time, there was a little wooden heart. And she looked at the heart and she said to the man, I want love. And then she received the heart. And what God spoke through that was, he's not giving her another religion, he's giving her the gift of love. And so, although everything about her Muslim part of her would say, I reject, I do not want another religion, it melted away when she recognized that the gift she was being given was love. So all of these things to say that God is the God of the impossible. Don't look at your circumstances, look at him. And the gift he wants to give us is the gift of love. So I want to give an invitation, because it's part of my calling, to say, if there's anybody here today that does not know Jesus as their Lord and their Saviour, today is the day of salvation. If there's anybody here that hasn't been baptized in the Holy Spirit to know God living inside of you, or wants a new prayer language, God has gifts for us. He's already given them. We just have to receive them. If there is something in your life that you could describe as life being stolen away, Jesus said, I've already dealt with this, so you can receive restoration, you can receive life. Don't allow the enemy to steal away from you, because when Jesus died, he gave us abundant life, life in all its fullness, not part or half, but everything. So I would encourage you today, be prepared to receive. Everything that God has given is already in our spirits, if we're believers and baptized with his Spirit. But our job is to take what is in our spirits and allow it to have an effect on our soul and our body. And it's not difficult. We just need to renew the way we think about things. Praise the Lord.